If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy this morning. And we'll be there momentarily. I don't know how to put it on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, that little squeeze tight. Squeeze that thing.
I'll tell you. All right. We good, Brother Daniel, back there? All right. Amen. Well, it is certainly a joy and a blessing to be with you folks this morning. And I do appreciate Pastor Chris and Brother Daniel, and especially the college and the opportunity to finish my bachelor's degree now, submitted my thesis for my master's, and just waiting on that to be graded, and appreciate the opportunity to serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And appreciate these preacher's fellowships, and when my wife and I, and unfortunately she couldn't be here with us this morning, she had work yesterday, and then she went home last night, and got some good sleep, and so she's probably enjoying the house without me there. So, so that's a blessing. But when we were in Kansas, when we first got married, we had some wonderful preacher friends, some wonderful preacher fellowships, and then when we moved back here, haven't really connected much on the Pennsylvania side, more so here on the New York side, but certainly do appreciate the opportunity to get together and fellowship and visit with one another and get to know one another. And, you know, it amazes me how the Lord can bring things together, how the Lord can work things out, and the messages up to this point, and kind of there's been, I would say, a central theme that has run through all of them. And I didn't, you know, as far as I know, none of us talked about what the Lord was going to lay on our hearts. And I hope what I have from him this morning will be a help and a challenge, an encouragement and a blessing. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And, you know, one of the saddest things, Brother Kelly, I didn't, some of those stats you had quoted, I've heard others over the years of churches closing, pastors getting out of the ministry, and so on and so forth. And if any of you are on Facebook, or, you know, there's no shortage of Facebook groups for churches seeking pastors. And it seems like on a daily basis, there's a new church that is seeking a pastor, and even sadder than churches without a pastor are those posts that come across that churches that, because they could not find a pastor, they close their doors, and whatever community they're in, that community has now lost a lighthouse. That community has now lost a gospel presence. I'm originally from South Philadelphia. Our church was there at the corner of Broad and Rittner, a couple blocks away from where the Eagles play and the Phillies play. And I thought South Philadelphia was a zoo and challenging. We would do street preaching, and I remember one time we were at the corner of Broad and Snyder, this one guy, we were trying to hand him a gospel track and a booklet of Gospel of John and Romans. And I'll never forget it. He said, he looked at me, and I mean, you know, just for, you know, look at me. Okay, just keep this in mind. And he looks at me and says, "You're not a cop, are you, man?" I've been accused of being a lot of things, but never have I been accused of ever being a cop. And but I thought South Philly was a, but then I see, I keep up with Brother Kelly on Facebook and things that are happening in Manhattan and New York City, and man, that's a whole different animal there. And so the Lord definitely has to be in that. But, it, you know, it's a sad time that we live in, where there's more churches that are needing pastors, more churches that are closing, and it got me to thinking, and this was actually the basis for my thesis for my master's. And so I've taken that. I joke with our folks at church. I took about a 45-page thesis, and I've whittled it down to about 3 pages. So I'm going to try and give that to you this morning. But, you think of a relay race this morning, and in a relay race, the decisive moment is not only the run, but it's the handoff. And, a runner may be fast, they may be strong, they may be determined, but if he drops the baton while he's running, and if he does not make that handoff, everything he carried then stops at his feet. And as a Christian truth, this book that we preach and teach and believe, it is not ours to reinvent. It is a baton for us to take and carry for just a short time.
Amen.
And then when our time is done, we take it and we hand it forward. Paul, here in 2 Timothy, handed it to Timothy. And then Timothy was then to take it, and then he was to then hand it to faithful men. And those men were then to hand it to others also. That has always been the biblical pattern. That has always been the goal. One man takes it and then hands it off to another faithful man who then carries it for a time and then hands it off to another faithful man. And so this morning I want to preach on just this simple thought. Don't let it die in your hands.
Amen.
Don't let it die in your hands. You're there, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice, if you would, there, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, we do thank you for your love and your mercy. And Lord, now we just pray, Lord, you fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And may the words I speak be those of you and you alone. May the message this morning be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. And Lord, thank you for meeting with us in a special and real way. We pray you continue to do so this morning. And now, Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll love you and thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Of course, here, 2 Timothy is, of course, Paul's final of his inspired letters. He is nearing the end of his life. He is nearing the end of his ministry. And he is not giving to Timothy, the young preacher here, he's not giving him a new program. He's not giving to him a better personality. He's not giving to him a modern strategy. But what he's doing is he's giving to Timothy a charge for him to guard and to teach and to continue the truth. He gives Timothy here the charge to do several things. Number one, to hold fast words. Notice there, chapter 1 and verse number 13. Chapter 1 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." And then he says, not only hold fast sound words, but then he says, guard the good deposit, verse number 14. "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. By the way, this book that we have been given, it is a good thing.
Yes.
And it is ours to keep and to hold and to guard and to cherish. And he says, guard the good deposit. Then he says, commit the same truth, chapter 2 and verse number 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then in chapter 4, notice there, verse numbers 1 and 2. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. That means when it's fashionable, when it's not fashionable. When it's easy, when it's not easy. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So here's the biblical pattern that Paul gives to Timothy. He says, take the word, hold it, guard it, commit it, preach it. That's the pattern. That's what we have been given. That's the same charge that we as preachers have been given.
Amen.
And back there in chapter 1, he says, hold fast the form of sound words and that good thing which was committed unto me. In chapter 4, he says, preach the word. And I believe Paul gave this to Timothy knowing that Paul knew that he would not preach forever. You know, sometimes I think as preachers, we think, man, we're going to preach forever.
Yeah.
The truth is morning, we're not going to preach forever.
Right.
One day there's going to be somebody else standing. I remember years ago, we took our teenagers to a youth conference at Heartland Baptist Bible College there in Oklahoma City. And while the teenagers are having their session, the adults were having a session with Brother Sam Davison, and this has always stuck with me. But sometimes we refer to the pulpit of our churches as our church, our pulpit.
Yeah.
And Brother Davison said, nothing here belongs to anybody.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not yours. It's not mine.
Yeah, right.
We're that's guardians right. of it,
amen.
But for a time.
Right.
And I forget who I heard say it at one point, but they say, you know, we're all interim pastors. We're just here, but a short time. We need to live and be reminded of that from time to time. And Paul knew here he would not preach forever, but the truth had to outlive the preacher.
Amen.
The truth had to outlive the preacher. The preacher may die, but the word must live on. The pulpit may change voices, but it must not change messages.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I and this was has been a burden on my heart because my last year of high school, I was diagnosed with cancer. I was already born with one bad kidney. The cancer and the chemo damaged a good kidney. And so that had to put me on hemodialysis. Thankfully, and praise the Lord, we get to do that at home. My wife is now a dialysis technician. She works at the hospital there at Guthrie. And that's one of the reasons we were praying about almost 6 years ago now, moving back to this area. Again, originally from Philadelphia. Wanted to get back, cooler climate, so on and so forth. And but I say that because there are times that I can't always be at church. And so we need faithful men that when the pastor is not there, things keep on going. And I tried to teach our churches over the years that, hey, yes, you should love your pastor. You should want your pastor there. But the church should not rise and fall on whether he's there.
Right, right.
If I'm not there one day, guess what? One of our faithful men can fill in. And so that's where this burden has come from. And so this text this morning, I believe, gives us God's plan for keeping truth alive. To preserve the truth, to prepare faithful men, and pass on the ministry. So I want to give you three thoughts this morning, and we'll be done. Number one, preserve the truth. preserve the truth. Notice there again, verse number 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me. Timothy had received something definite. In fact, go back, if you would, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. And I want you to notice there. And again, Pastor Chris has already said, nothing wrong with commentaries. But the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself.
That's right.
The Bible defines itself. And so I want you to notice some things. Notice there, 1 Timothy. Where is it, 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Here it is. Here's the key. Verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that means Timothy had a real faith. The unfeigned faith that is in thee. Notice what Paul says about it, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And so when Paul tells Timothy in chapter 2 and verse number 2, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy had already had a little bit of a taste of that. His grandmother, who taught his mother, who taught him. There was a continual line of truth. And so we see here Timothy had received something definite. He had received if I can put it this way, this apostolic truth from the Apostle Paul. He had received sound doctrine. He had received the gospel. And so Timothy, he was not called to, now I have to create a message. He already had the message.
Amen.
He just had to keep on telling it.
Right.
He was called to guard the message and trust it to him. This morning we are not inventors of truth.
Right.
We're not. We are just simply stewards.
Yep.
Of truth. In Corinthians, it is required of a man that he be found
faithful.
Yes. That's all we've been called to do, is be found faithful.
Amen.
The preacher's job is not to make the Bible say something new.
Right.
Our job is just to faithfully say what the Bible has always said.
Yes.
Jude verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Yeah.
It has already been given to the saints. It is now our job to contend for the faith. By the way, Jude there did not say to be contentious of the faith.
Right, right.
We can contend and still be gracious.
Yeah.
We can contend and still do it lovingly. But we do need to contend for the faith.
Amen.
You know, you think of an old family Bible. That old family Bible is not valuable if it sits unopened in a glass case. But because somebody believed it, somebody read it, somebody obeyed it, and then somebody handed it down.
Amen.
We're not called this morning to display truth like it's some sort of a museum piece.
Right.
We are called to deliver it as a living message. Amen. This is the very living Word of God.
Amen.
Every time you open it, it has something for us. And so as preachers this morning, we need to be sure that we do not trade doctrine for popularity. Right. That we do not replace preaching with storytelling and with entertainment. And, you know, well, if I can just get them in the door.
Yeah.
Listen, what you get them in with is what you're going to have to do to keep them.
Right. Yeah.
And it's never worth it. And as church members, we need to value a pulpit that opens the book.
Amen.
Listen, if you have a preacher and a pastor that is preaching the Word of God,
Amen.
Don't worry about what the church has and doesn't have.
Yeah.
This program or that program, or if it's preaching the Word,
Amen.
What more do you need?
Yeah.
Preach
right.
the Word.
Amen.
In your home. Witness and service. Hold fast to the truth God has given.
Amen.
You know, the tragedy of our day is not that men have stopped speaking. It is that many have kept the pulpit and lost the message.
Right.
I remember a couple years ago I saw a story of a pastor, quote unquote, and apparently, somewhere along the way, he stopped believing in the Bible. But he decided he was going to keep the church that he was the pastor of, and he would still get up and deliver messages. And when asked, well, if you don't believe it, why are you staying?
Yeah.
And his answer was, oh, well, the pay is just too good.
Oh, my goodness.
Number one, I need to find out where that church is. But then secondly, if that's the reason you're staying for the wrong reason.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They have lost the message.
Yes.
But then secondly, this morning, we see that we need to prepare faithful men. Prepare faithful men. You know, as Paul says there to Timothy in verse number 2, the same commit thou to faithful men. You see, Paul did not tell Timothy merely to preach to men. He told him to commit truth to men. That means this is an intentional investment. Teaching and correcting and encouraging and patiently over time, developing men who can handle God's word. Listen tonight, the pulpit is too serious to be treated like it's open mic night.
Yeah, right.
There are men who are in pulpits that have no business being in pulpits.
Right.
I remember when we were in Oklahoma, and one of my deacons, one of the godliest men you'll ever meet, and I remember him filling in for me a time or two, and. Somewhere along the line, he stopped wearing a tie. And he just, you know, at home he would wear his bib overalls and just country. But godliest family you would ever know. But when he would fill in, he would not preach from the platform pulpit. We'd have a little portable pulpit he'd put in front. And I never told him he had to do that. And one day he just told me, he said, you know, I'm not much of a preacher. And he says, if you're going to stand behind the pulpit, I believe you ought to wear a tie. And you ought to, you know, have some sort of reverence for the pulpit. And so since he never wore a tie after he got done work and retired and everything. I guess he never wanted to put on another tie again. And so, you know, that's understandable. But he could handle the Word of God. And so if my wife and I went on vacation and we knew he had to fill in, we knew the pulpit, that service was in good hands. But he had a reverence for handling the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's what we need. And the pulpit is too serious to just be treated like open mic night. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
It's like a skilled carpenter. They do not hand a new apprentice the plans, the tools, the keys to the job site on the first day.
Right.
That would be foolish. He works beside him. He corrects him. He teaches him until he can be trusted with the work. Faithful men are not developed in panic. They're developed over time.
Amen.
And as pastors, we need to prayerfully watch for faithful men, not merely gifted men. Because listen, there are many men that, you know, we could look at and say, man, they're gifted. They can talk. They can, you know, they could probably fill in for me. But are they faithful?
Amen.
Are they faithful?
Right.
Look for men who are teachable. That's a very important.
Yes.
Yeah, there are so many people that have a problem with authority today.
Yeah.
And they're not teachable. I remember, again, when we were in Oklahoma, we had a family, a gentleman. He pastored a church the next town over, and they were going through some hard times. And we went to a camp meeting in Wichita, and the pastor there had been kind to my wife and I. And when we were going through hard times, and he kind of linked us up and said, hey, maybe you can be a blessing to this man and his family. And so we tried. And unfortunately, the church had to, that particular church closed its doors. And so they came under our church and our ministry there for a while. And one of the first things that we learned very quickly is that this man had a problem with authority. I remember one Sunday, decided, you know, let him teach the adult Sunday school class. And so I was sitting in there, and he made the comment that he had felt called to go and pastor. And well, his church, his pastor, told him basically point blank that he didn't think he was ready just yet. And so this man, one Sunday, asked to meet with his pastor and took him in the office and said, basically gave him an ultimatum and said, we're going whether we have your blessing or not. I'm sorry, but I don't find that in Scripture.
Right.
I don't. And so he went. He took a church in Kansas. That church closed down. He took a church in Oklahoma. That church closed down. And come to find out, this man was never ordained. He was never sent out. He never had an authority behind him. He was just kind of a rogue agent, as it were. I believe that we find that if you're going to go start a church, you have an authority behind you. You have that sending church. You have that pastor behind you, and you never and he was there, and there were time or two we butted heads, and to this day now this man is out of the ministry. He and his wife are divorced, and teachability. You need to make sure that whoever you're looking at is teachable, that they're doctrinally sound, that they're humble, dependable, faithful. When no one is watching. Listen, this morning, men, we need to make sure that we don't teach them to chase a pulpit, but pursue faithfulness.
Amen.
Learn to serve.
Yes.
Receive correction. Study the word and walk with God.
Amen.
Then and only then are you ready for the pulpit. The truth must get into the preacher.
Yes.
Before it comes out of the preacher. We need to prepare faithful men. Then thirdly and finally this morning, we need to pass on the ministry.
Yes.
We need to pass on the ministry. You notice there again, verse number 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul's vision reached well beyond young Timothy. This verse contains four generations. You had Paul, you had Timothy, faithful men, and others also. The goal is not merely a strong preacher today. It is a continuing tomorrow.
Right.
A faithful preacher is concerned not only with who hears him now, but with who will hear the truth after his voice is silent.
Yeah.
Acts 6:7, the Bible says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Mm-hmm. You know, a man can plant a shade tree knowing that he may never sit under it, that he may never sit beneath it.
Yeah.
Again, thinking back to our time in Oklahoma, the church there had been given some land, donated some land, and they were seeking to build a building. They didn't necessarily have the money for it. And this gentleman came in and said at the pastor at the time, the founding pastor of the church, he said, whatever the church needs, money-wise, it's going to be yours. And so pastor sat him down, said, listen, just because you might be going to help us build this building, this doesn't give you any more say in the church than anybody else.
Yeah. Right.
And so the same man later on, he put all this money in to build the building. And later on, after the before the building was built, this is back in the 80s, there was a book, 88 Reasons Why Christ is Coming in 1988. And so he tried to get that into the church and tried to split the church. And so pastor had to go to him and say, hey, no. And so that man left the church. The church building was built. And the man who helped build that building, give all the money, to this day has never sat in a church service in that building. Huh. Never. A man can plant a shade tree knowing he may never sit beneath it. He plants because someone else will need its shelter. You know, much of ministry is planting truth in people who will bear fruit long after we're gone.
Amen.
Long after we're off the scene.
Yes.
Plant anyway.
Amen.
Water anyway.
Amen.
Preach anyway.
Amen.
Train anyway.
Amen.
We need to learn to think beyond Sunday.
Yeah.
We need to pray for laborers. Encourage young men. Teach your children. Strengthen your church.
Yes.
Support careful preacher training. Listen, small churches can still raise faithful men.
Yes.
Small churches can still send missionaries.
Yeah, that's right.
And preserve truth for another generation.
Yeah.
Listen, Morty, you don't need to be, you don't need a famous ministry to obey 2 Timothy 2:2.
That's right.
All you need is a Bible, a church, a burden, and faithfulness. And if you'll have those four things, sky's the limit with what God can do.
Amen.
That's right. Right.
Paul's charge here this morning is simple. Preserve the truth.
Yes.
Prepare faithful men. And pass on the ministry.
Amen.
We are not called merely to run our race. We are called to make the handoff.
Yes.
The gospel must not die with us. And listen, it won't. And we need to understand that. It won't. But will our church go on?
Yeah.
Right.
After we're gone?
Yeah.
We need to ask that. The book must not die with us.
Amen.
Biblical preaching must not die with us. Again, Sam Davis, and he said this, and I might be misquoting it, but he said, why on earth would you take a text and then not preach it?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Right. Yeah.
Faithfulness must not die with us.
Amen.
This morning, don't let it die in your hands.
Amen.
We need to ask ourselves this morning, who am I preparing?
Yeah.
Christian, we need to ask, am I faithful enough to be entrusted with truth? Church member, we need to ask, am I helping preserve and pass on the faith? Let us not ask the Lord for grace to just simply say, Lord, thank you for the truth committed to us. Help us not to change it, drop it, bury it, or keep it to ourselves. Help us preach it faithfully and commit it to faithful men who then shall be able to teach others also.
Amen.
Don't let it die with us.
Amen.
Pastor Chris.
Praise the Lord. What a good message.
Yes.
Amen.